Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome in, professional wrestling fans. Welcome in, Busted Open Nation, here on a Saturday. It is time for the podcast edition of Busted Open Radio here on a Saturday. And I am Ryan McKinnell, your weekend host. I am joined, as always, by the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. And Mark, this is just no regular Saturday show. It's a Survivor Series Saturday here on Busted
Open. Man, man, man. Survivor Series at its finest. Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, The New Day, The Street Profits, Sasha Banks, Asuka. There's so much more. And I'm looking forward to it all. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I think that The Street Profits and The New Day, they might try to steal it.
Stealing the show.
Not saying it's going to be the best match, but I'm just saying it'll be stuff we remember forever.
I'm going to be keeping my eye on that. Speaking of things to remember forever, 30 years ago, Mark, almost to the day. Yeah, it's Survivor Series. It's a special Survivor Series as we look back on The Undertaker. That's right, the one and only Mark Calaway making his debut 30 years ago to the day at Survivor Series as a mystery entrant, mystery member of the Million Dollar Team led by the one and only Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. And who better, Mark, talk about The Undertaker and 30 years ago than the man himself, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. That's right, he's on this show today.
Man, listen, we could have spent another hour talking to Ted DiBiase. Such clearance and understanding in the way that he delivered it. Like, it was an unbelievable thing. Can't wait for y'all to hear this.
Definitely, definitely. And Mark, it wouldn't be a Saturday show without the weekly winner, where we give you our best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. All you got to do, Nation, is sit back, relax, click play on that browser. Let's get it going. Bust it open on a Saturday.
Oh my God. Ryan. The goosebumps.
Man.
Goosebumps.
30 years, Mark.
30 years.
Late. 30 years.
Goosebumps.
Man.
Oh, my God, man. I'm telling you. The thing that started out with that was to hear Howard Finkel's voice. Howard had a way of putting emphasis on things, the way he introduced people and the way that he presented, that made wrestling what it is today. Just so you know, Howard Finkel is always going to be my number one announcer of all time.
Same. Yeah.
I love Howard, and I think Howard set the template for everybody. You look at the way that the boxing announcers announce today. That was Howard Finkel. That was his influence. So you got to give that. And then Ted DiBiase, there's not many guys that – I've grabbed the microphone and owned it like Ted DiBiase did. And he was able to really bring color and clarity to what was happening. And The Undertaker, we didn't know when he walked down the ramp that first time.
Right.
That everything that was going to happen was going to happen. But when he came down, you knew that something had changed in wrestling. That one match, that one entrance, that wrestling had changed.
Well, as you said, we knew something was changing. We didn't know how big that change was going to actually become. And talk about it, you know, Undertaker 30 years ago, tomorrow, making his debut at Survivor Series, Mark, in 1990.
we knew, you know, he was scary. We knew he was big. We knew that, you know, clearly, as you said, there was a shift happening and something special was happening. But when you think about now the WrestleMania moments, you think about the title runs, you think about the character, the minor character shifts, you think about everything that, you know, has come to embody the locker room leader that Mark Calloway / The Undertaker was, is still even to this day. The story of The Undertaker is incredible. And it's incredible, Mark, that we're going to be celebrating 30 years here this weekend. Obviously, 30 years to the day, which I think is very, very cool, happening that anniversary tomorrow. And to talk about it again, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase coming up here on Busted Open in just about an hour. I'm Ryan McKinnell. That is Mark Henry. This is the Saturday edition of Busted Open. Hey, Mark, we'll be getting back to SmackDown. We got plenty to say. We'll be giving out our Survivor Series preview as well and having some fun with this show. I'm really looking forward to getting to it. And of course, talking to the nation, 877-344-4893. That is 877-FIGHT93. I throw that out there to the nation, Mark, because I want to hear from them. But first, I'm going to hear from you. We are putting together our all-time Survivor Series team. If you were going into battle, who would you pick? I'm going a little 2020 with my pick. I'm going to go a little regional. But I know you're an old-school guy, Mark. I know you're an old-school guy. So I'm going to let you go first. I want to hear your thoughts on an all-time Survivor Series team. Who'd you be taking into battle?
Man, all time. I would have to say, because I've had a lot of interactions with the gentleman, and I use that term loosely, Big Show would be the first guy that I pick, because there's no answer for size. There's just no answer. And I think that, you know, together with myself, the world's largest tag team.
Yeah, I don't think you need two more members after that. I think you could just do Mark Henry and the Big Show and beat the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, we just start whooping everybody. But then you need flamboyance.
Okay.
You need flamboyance. And who was more flamboyant than The Rock? I mean,
come on.
It's almost not fair to have somebody that's got that kind of instinctive, almost, I guess, you know, for lack of a better term, born with the gift. It's genetically oozes from him, you know, from his high chief, Peter Maivia, to his dad, Rocky Johnson, his mom, Atta. He didn't have a choice. He was supposed to be The Rock.
This is what you are doing.
you are going to be the best wrestler alive.
This is the way.
And this is the way.
This is the way.
And then last, and certainly not least, you need a guy that can always change the tide. And that guy is Bret Hart.
Okay. Like
Bret Hart, there was no wrestler in the 80s and 90s that Bret Hart didn't have a chance to turn the tide with. Not one. Not including Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, and the list of people to go on. I leave The Undertaker off the list because he's always the main event. He wouldn't. Not many Survivor Series matches.
Yeah, right.
Unless they were singles. He had a few. Him and the Brothers of Destruction, they had a couple of Survivor Series matches. But
I like that you didn't go all Haas.
That's my team.
Yeah, when you started it, you went Big Show first. I thought you were going all Haas squad. I thought you were just going to go big bodies. I thought maybe given your history with Andre, you'd throw Andre in there. But no, this was you thought chemically, you thought biologically, you thought as a in terms of chemistry, right? Well, you got your two Haases. You got Mark Henry, right? right? You got the Big Show, but now you need a little charisma with The Rock. Hey, can't do wrong there. And then I love the point you bring up about Bret Hart. You're right. There was no one in the 80s and 90s, and we're talking about a very impressive era in professional wrestling history, right? Where Bret Hart wasn't believably holding his own in every single situation, right?
Against anybody.
Exactly. That's a testament to the legacy that man left. And that's a great point that you made, Mark. I like that a lot.
You have to ask yourself, who's going to start that match against whoever? And you would think that it would be Bret because he's the grappler. He's the guy that can kind of set the tempo. But I actually think that with that, I would be the one to start. I would, against whoever, and then I would give it to Bret.
Who would you want to fight against? Like, I don't know. Like you don't need to give me a whole team, but who would you, if you're the captain of your Survivor Series team, right? And that is a squad you put together. Who would you want to test that squad against? What pro wrestling mind would you want to go against? Like I talked about the biology and the thought you put into constructing your team. Who do you think could construct a team that might give that team a run for your money?
You know what? I'm going to have to see what the fans come up with I want to hear who your team is, and maybe we can do some fantasy booking.
I think we're going to be doing a lot of fantasy booking throughout the next 3 hours. 877-344-4893. Give us your all-time Survivor Series squad. I'm not going to give an all-time squad. All right. I'm going to give you a 20.
Wait, what? Why?
Because I want to give you the squad that I wanted to see going into Survivor Series this Sunday. You get what I'm saying? Like, I want to give you the team that I wanted to have tell a story this 24 hours coming up at Survivor Series on Sunday. All right, so there's been some teasing on social media for this squad, and it kind of hit me, right? I think Finn Balor was the one that tweeted out on Instagram. They've been teasing at this, right? The guns from Finn Balor, a little back and forth with Adam Cole. What exactly is going to be happening? If I had a team in 2020 to construct, AJ Styles, Adam Cole, Finn Balor, right there, the lineage of the Bullet Club, and then you can throw in whatever other member of that sort of era that I'm talking about, if you will, Mark. So I would throw in a Kevin Owens. If you wanted to throw in Sami Zayn there instead of Kevin Owens, I would be okay with it. But AJ Styles, Adam Cole, Finn Balor, and Kevin Owens. I'll stay with Kevin because I love the chemistry that you thought of in terms of the biology of constructing a team. And all due respect to Cole, Styles, and Balor, they're all similar body shapes and sort of styles in terms of their wrestling. Kevin Owens is a wild card. He can be the Hoss. He can be the Cannonball. He can go there and clean people up. And again, I would have loved to have seen that on Sunday, some sort of Bullet Club construction, an ode to a past generation and the work that they've done. I think that would be really fun and get the fans excited. And what's cool about that, Mark, we may still see something like that one day because I don't think that's completely off the table.
I mean, you know, you got to let history happen and, you know, trying to get what you want is, you know, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, you could pee in one hand and pray and wish in the other and see which one fills up first.
Hey, everyone, this is Kirk Morris.
This is Greg McElroy.
And this is Nate Burleson. With the 2020 NFL season finally upon us, we're excited to announce 3 new NFL podcasts from SiriusXM.
On Total Coverage, we'll explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results.
On Inside the Pocket, we will go under the helmet for all the quarterbacks in the NFL.
And on 17 Weeks, Jamal Adams, Emmanuel Sanders, and Eric Ebron will discuss the latest NFL stories straight from the locker room.
New episodes of all 3 podcasts will be available every week on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody's gonna pay.
Yeah, still one of the greatest entrance music themes of all time, and it is for one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time, WWE Hall of Famer, and 30 years ago, almost to the day, in 24 hours, tomorrow, 30 years ago, this weekend, this man brought us The Undertaker at Survivor Series. He is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. He is the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase, joining Busted Open right now.
Ted DiBiase, hey, thanks for giving us a few minutes. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you this morning?
We are great. We are excited. I know Mark's excited. I know I'm excited. We're all excited as professional wrestling fans, Ted, because, well, as I said, 30 years ago today, as your mystery team member, you brought us the Undertaker. So I guess we got to give you a big thanks. Yeah, we owe you. Ted, I'm just going to ask you this. What do you remember about the lead up to that Survivor Series, the mystery surrounding that entrant, and I guess the expectations of a young Mark Calloway, now known as the Undertaker, and what he was set to become?
Well, I personally remember that I thought, the uniqueness of the character, fascinated me. And I think that they did a very good job of building this up and making it exciting. And then when this guy comes out and looks like he looks, that was the first entrance. And of course, then later as that character grew, oh my gosh, I can remember, I think we were in Chicago and it was another pay-per-view. And I think it was the first, I'm standing in the ring. This was when I had become a ringside manager. And I can't remember who he was wrestling that night. I'm getting old. But the first time that Undertaker came to the ring with all of the, with all of the torches on each side.
Right.
Unbelievable entrance. But Mark Calloway is number one. He's great. He's great in so many ways. He's not only a great wrestler, but he's a great guy. He's a very likable person. But I don't think anybody, and I know I certainly had no idea at the time. It's just, I say the same thing about Steve Austin. I don't know anybody realized at the time when they were first starting out like that they would grow to be these phenomenons. But the fact that Mark has carried this thing, the thing that intrigued me as a performer was, for Mark to be able to get in the ring and to stay in character and to move in that fashion, you know what I'm saying? Like to move as slowly as he moved, yet to be as effective as he was. I think, I don't think anybody realized how far he was going to go. And my gosh, guess what? He's still going. He's the last of the, I would say, unless there's somebody else, I think he's the last guy that's actively, taking part in wrestling matches that is from my era. we're all getting old.
It's true.
Wow. And you know what, Ted? Like, another thing about you and The Undertaker that parallel, and I wanted to talk about this, was the athleticism for big guys. Nobody was doing the stuff that he was doing as a big guy. And you were at the time, maybe 260. I remember telling Ryan, I was like, Ted would jump from the ring to the floor every match. And when you grab the top rope and you jump over the top rope to the floor, that's about a 10-foot drop. Do that every night.
The guy who is kind of like, my era guy. So I used to watch a lot of people. Of course, I grew up in wrestling. I loved wrestling since my childhood because, my father was a wrestler. And so I've known the Funk family my entire life. Dory Funk Sr., Dory Funk Jr., Terry Funk. Terry, I mean, the Funks were great wrestlers. Terry could be just as technical as possible. He could be the greatest technician you ever saw, or he could be the wildest, craziest guy you ever saw. He had the ability to do both. And the move you're talking about, Mark, I mean, there's a lot of times I'd get clotheslined over the top rope, and with my back to the rope. And of course I'm holding onto that rope until I get my feet over and then I go to the ground. But the other one I would do is like somebody would give me what you and I call an ass bump, where they pick you up and they bring you down and your rear end hits their knee.
Yeah.
And I would launch myself to the top rope and I had to hit the top rope like, you know, right about belly button high, and that would carry me over and to the floor. But yeah, it was like, I mean, I look at some of that stuff going back now, you know, every now and then I'll go on YouTube and pull up something to watch it. And I go, you know, now, of course, I'm 66 years old now. And I said, gosh, is that really me? Did I really do all that stuff?
Yeah, that was you. You did it. And I told Ryan and our guys here that I was going to tell a story that that happened. As a little kid, my grandmother took me to Lafayette, Louisiana, and I told you the story before. I was in the third row, and you were wrestling JYD, and I was the biggest JYD fan of all time at that age. I mean, at 10, 11 years old, I was all in. And you were beating him like a rented mule. And you jumped over the top rope to the floor and double axed him. And he came up and blood was everywhere. I never saw that much blood in my life. And you just continued to beat on him. And I'm screaming, stop, leave him alone, leave him alone. And I remember telling you about this bloody match in Lafayette, Louisiana. And you said, you know what? I remember that. Yeah. And I was like, man, like, as a little kid, nobody could tell me anything about pro wrestling. I thought I knew everything.
Yeah. And
I think there's always that, like, is there other moments that you had with The Undertaker that that kind of stick out to you, like that memory sticks out to me?
Well, you know, the reason I remember your story is I remembered it. You know, Mark. I mean, how many days a year do we wrestle? How many matches do we have? And there are some there are some that do, and especially if it's somebody that you've done a lot of business with. But when you told the story, that's what brought it back to memory for me was that. Like you said, that's about as much blood as you'd ever seen on a wrestler, and that's because dog hit it deep, and that, you know, and I remember the match because of that, because, you know, he went a little, you know, and every now and then, you know, I've done that too, where I, you know, there's a match I had with Ric Flair on TV where I hit it quick. This is back when we would cut ourselves with razor blades like idiots. And I hit an artery in my forehead, and every time my heart would beat, it would just squirt out.
Oh,
yeah. And so I told Rick, I said, put my head over the top rope. I'm going to get the girls on the front row.
The 80s. So, let's go.
The 80s.
Yeah. But Mark Calloway, I mean, what an unbelievable, I mean, nobody saw that coming. I mean, you know, when he first started, I saw his talent. I've always liked him as a person. But, you know, I thought he was one of those characters, you know, it's like characters come and characters go, you know, that they have the run and then, you know, and I thought that's it. At the beginning, that's what I thought. But to see how this thing just grew and grew and grew and how he has just become, you know, I mean, he's as iconic as anybody in our business now. I mean, it's like there's nobody. I don't care. I mean, you can go almost anywhere in the world and go, you know, who The Undertaker, you know, that guy from wrestling. Oh, yeah. Everybody knows who The Undertaker is. You know, even if you're not a wrestling fan,
yeah.
People that's one of those names that people remember. And to Mark's credit, you know, he earned it, man. And he, you know, it's like, and you know, and every time, that's the other thing. There's been a few of these, few of the big shows, a couple of WrestleManias, and you know, and I was like, you know, I'd walk up to him and I said, Mark, the last time I talked to you, you said this was your last match. I said, are you ever going to retire? And I said, so why are you back again? And he says, well, I once heard somebody say, everybody's got a price.
What a great line. All right. Oh, yeah. So, Ted, So, Ted, I got to ask you. I just love the idea of the Undertaker saying that to the Million Dollar Man, right? I'm kind of like marking out right here. But, no, I'm curious because you kind of bring that up. The Last Ride, right? Obviously, the documentary series has been airing. Mark Calloway, the Undertaker, giving us a look inside the character that, I got to be honest, Ted, I never thought I would see. Now, I will get into that. But since you touched on it, I did have a question for you, and I'm going to ask you, right? The Undertaker showing up tomorrow. He has said he's done. But, Ted, this is pro wrestling, right? I can't say I believe anybody's done, especially The Undertaker, as you said. He just keeps coming back and coming back. What do you think, Ted? I mean, you're a fan like the rest of us. We're going into Survivor Series tomorrow. We're celebrating 30 years of The Undertaker. Do you think we might get one more match from the big man?
Hey, you know what? Everybody's got a price. I think anything is possible because you said it. This is wrestling. And I just don't know. I mean, you know, the wrestling fan in me is going, I would love it. I would love it if we got to see him one more time. I don't think that's obviously that's not what's been advertised or planned. So,
right.
That's a good way to get all Undertaker fans to show up.
Yes, like, exactly. You know, everyone is for sure going to be tuned in. Now, you talk about Undertaker fans, Ted, obviously 30 years ago this weekend, tomorrow, which I think is really cool. Obviously, the date lines up, which is another reason I think he could do something, a proper send off. Not that he hasn't had plenty. He certainly has. But I think on some level, the door is open, right? That's tomorrow. But let's go back to 30 years ago. Almost today, right? 30 years ago this weekend, you know, it's around Thanksgiving time. There's this like book ended by the gobbledygooker. Like Survivor Series 1990 was a really, you know, obviously important event for so many reasons for us as professional wrestling fans. But Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, he's making his debut. No one has seen this yet. At the time, he's with Brother Love, soon to be Paul Bearer joining up and obviously becoming The Undertaker that we know and love today. But Ted, take me back to that week, to take me back to those weeks. What were the nerves like? Like, what was Mark like heading into that? This was a huge debut for him. And Ted, he didn't have the juice that he has today. He certainly wasn't a locker room leader. No one knew he was going to be one of the greatest of all time. He didn't know he was going to be a Hall of Famer, right? So take me back 30 years ago into what he was like leading up into that match and that debut.
Well, I mean, you know, Mark was just, I would say be any, like anybody else. I mean, I had been a wrestler. Here's a kid who grew up in wrestling, a kid who had been in wrestling dressing rooms even before I was a wrestler with my dad and knew all these guys and had been a wrestler for 12 years. But when I came to the then WWF, you know, wrestling had exploded and it was somewhat, you know, like, you know, and so now instead of doing our TV shows and little studios with, you know, like two sets of bleachers on two sides of the ring, all of our TV shows are in Coliseums. And, you know, it's like every crowd's a big crowd. You know, I was intimidated by that. I mean, intimidated in a way that, like, you know, I mean, the first time I went out on TV, as the Million Dollar Man, you know, yeah, I was nervous. I was a little bit apprehensive, but once I was out there, I was okay. And yeah. I would say that's how Mark was. I mean, it's like, this is his debut. This is like everything that had been done. It was leading up to this entrance and this appearance. And, you know, I'm sure he was, you know, of course I didn't talk to him about it. And because a lot of guys, you know, I remember when my son, Ted Jr., when he debuted, I was behind the curtain with him. And this is what I told him just before he walked out. I said, put everything else out of your mind. I said, but when you walk through that curtain, you own the place. I want that to be the thought in your mind, your attitude. You know, I own the place. You know, that presentation. And he did that. So, but I, you know, I would just say, Mark, like all of us, you know, like, I mean, you know, Mark Henry, you know, you and I know, you know, whether it's wrestling or whatever, but you know, like you can wrestle all the time, but when you're wrestling in WrestleMania, when you're wrestling a big show, you know, we all have the jitters. We all have, you know, yeah. You know, every time you, go on a football field or whatever, you know, but once you make that first contact, you relax and you get into the game. And I would say that's how it was for Mark.
I definitely would have to agree with that. There's been many times that the anxiety of a match, especially I think the most that I ever had was main eventing with Taker at WrestleMania 22.
Yeah.
And being a part of the streak and me wanting to live up to every match that I saw growing up of The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And I was like, almost had to breathe into a paper bag because I was like, I just couldn't believe that moment had come up. But I was always told, if you ever get to where you don't feel like that, you need to get out of the business. Because
You're absolutely right, brother. That's what protects you. Because, you know, if it doesn't mean any more than that to you, you know, that's going to come across to the crowd.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know,
and that's the way your body protects itself.
Yeah.
You know, gives you limits. You know, you start to feel like you don't have any limits or any limitations, then you could do something that not only hurt you, but hurt the person you're in the ring with.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you and I both know the first rule of thumb is, you know, that's what I was always taught from day one, you know, because as performers, we're in the ring working together to entertain this crowd. But the first rule is take care of him.
Yeah.
In other words, if something goes haywire and you're all sweaty and somebody slips, you know, you do your best to protect his body. And, you know, and if he's thinking the same way, you know, then things are going to work out good. You know, and it's like, you know, and there have been a couple of guys, you know, in our business who I looked at and with disgust that didn't show that respect. It was like it was all about them. There's guys who didn't care whether they hurt you or not, you know, those guys need to be, you know, out the door. Because, you know, it's like anything else, you know, if you're an NFL football player, if you're a baseball player or you're a wrestler, you're part of a family. And especially in wrestling where the uniqueness of what we do and how we travel and everything, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like a soldier, you know, you can sit down with somebody and try to, you know, because I'm intrigued by, you know, I watch war movies and I study the history. I'd like to go to Normandy and all that stuff. And I just try to imagine what that must have been like. And there's no way to imagine it. And even if a soldier sat down and tried to tell you, there's no way that, you know, the only other person that's going to understand him is somebody that was there with him.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing for us. It's just, you know, it's like you have to live it to totally understand it.
Here with Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. Ted, we got a couple more minutes, and before we get you out of here, I wanted to ask you this question because you were a part. I mean, 1989, I'm 6 years old. You had that Million Dollar Team with Zeus from No Holds Barred, the Powers of Pain and Warlord and Barbarian. That was great to me because it was a true stable of real heels, and I was a Hulkamaniac, and that just, I mean, that story being told to me, it still sticks with me, you know, 30 plus years later. But Ted, you were a part of some really great Survivor Series teams. So this is a two-part question. What was your favorite Survivor Series team? And if you could put together today a million-dollar team for wrestlers, past, present, whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear your thoughts. So your favorite actual team of years past and the team you might put together today.
Well, I would say actual team is the team you just announced, those guys.
Yeah.
That, to me, that was the best group of guys in terms of what the angle was, what we were trying to do at the time, and it got over well. Good Lord, you know, to put together a team, you know, from past, present, and future. Wow. Put me on the spot, like, I might have to have Mark Henry on that. You know, I mean, big bad Mark.
He's hard to move. He's hard to move, Ted.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, that's the kind of guy, you know, like, you know, and I don't know, Andre the Giant.
Maybe the hardest guy to move.
I was going to say, Mark would appreciate that.
Harder guy to move, right.
Yep.
You know, and of course, well, Hulk Hogan, but that wouldn't work because, you know, he eventually turned heel, but, you know, that was a different time. Other heels. Jake the Snake.
Ooh.
Yeah, Jake.
I'd watch
Jake
that.
That would be a good combination of guys. And, I need one more.
Give me a manager. Give me someone other than yourself to run the team. Who would you pick to run a team?
Bobby Heenan.
Right. Yeah. The brain. How can you go wrong with Bobby Heenan? Hey, Ted, I feel like we could have you back on for a whole other half hour just to talk about Bobby Heenan. But I appreciate you joining us here on the Survivor Series Saturday. A true legend of the business, the one and only Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Ted, again, thank you for giving us a few minutes. Thank you for being such a huge part of Survivor Series lore, introducing us to The Undertaker, but giving us some of the greatest heel stables in the history of the business and a true heel yourself. One of the greatest of all time, man. It was a pleasure for myself. I know Mark
enjoyed it.
Thank
you for coming on, brother.
I know the nation enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Ted.
Thank you, guys. And just remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Hell yeah. Ted DiBiase, oh my God, the one and only Million Dollar Man. Mark, that will never get old. Ever.
Never get old. Listen, man. I know the man. I love the man. Kindred spirits, brothers in Christ,
yep.
And just a good human being, man. And it warms my heart to be able to be on the show today with him. Like, yeah, that's how special he is.
Especially, Mark, 30 years almost to the day that man gave us The Undertaker. Again, I feel like we could have went an hour with him. Just the stories and the mind. And you talk about the mind of the business to be a heel, Mark. He is the greatest heel, period, of my childhood. Like, period.
Oh, yeah.
There's no one better.
Hello, SiriusXM. This is Pat McAfee. Starting Wednesday, my show is coming to Mad Dog Sports Radio. If you don't know me, here's a resume. I used to kick balls for a living. Sometimes I do comedy. I'm an undefeated professional wrestler except for one match. And I do a radio show where I'll entertain the living hell out of you with sports takes and some stories from my crazy life. The dumbest sports show to ever exist, The Pat McAfee Show. We're on weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern, starting Wednesday on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or however the hell you stream in your house.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
If you ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yes, 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 that is right, wrestling fans. Hour 3 of Busted Open here. I'm Ryan McKinnell. That is Mark Henry. And Mark, it is weekly winner time. Very exciting. We'll get things started, but I just got to give another tip of the cap and a big thanks to the one and only Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, for stopping by there at the end of hour 2. And a reminder to our fans, if you missed any part of that conversation, don't miss it again. Make sure to swing back on SiriusXM on demand after the show to catch up with that. I feel like that man has a treasure trove of stories, Mark Henry. I feel like we could talk to him forever.
Bro, we could have talked to him for another hour. I think one of the main things that we could have talked about was wrestling intention. And that's one that, you know, we were on Survivor Series, so we couldn't talk about what makes a heel a heel. Yeah. What made him want to be the heel that he was? And what advice did he get from his dad, you know, when he was a young boy coming in the locker room? Jacob is probably the luckiest kid in the world. Just like I remember Dominic, when Dominic was like, I remember I used to hold him while Ray was you know, going over his stuff, you know, like a baby boy, like one, 2 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, Jacob has had that experience too. And it, there's some instinctive things. If I call right now and had Jacob come on the show, he would be able to talk wrestling like we talk wrestling because he understands. He's been there. He's done that. That's the way The Rock was. And the thing that makes it really boil is if do you love it or where it's just something that you was exposed to. And I think that Jacob loved it, and I think that Ted DiBiase loved it as much as his dad did or more. And he told it, like you said, he told his son, like, you go out there like you own the place. And that's the thing that's that whole psychology thing is what makes wrestling what it is today. And we could have had him on for at least an hour.
Psychology, Mark, and being fearless. Like, to be a great heel, I think you have to have NFG, right? No F's given. And none. I think now this is double-edged sword of that, right? Like, you care immensely, but that's also why you never break and you always stay. You keep that heel energy as tight as you can. DiBiase did that. MJF does it today. I mean, it's a trait.
It never changes. Perception is reality. There was a time, Ryan, when I didn't want to be perceived as the big, angry black dude because my whole life, that's how people saw me. I didn't want to be typical. But in pro wrestling, if you're gonna play the role, you're going to be something. There was never a bigger, angrier black dude than I was when I was in there trying to beat the shit out of you. Like, I wanted to be that guy once I turned that corner and was allowed myself to be perceived that way. Ted DiBiase didn't, you said no F's given? None.
Yep.
He went out there, I own the place, and I know you're a man, you are weak. And if I offer you enough money, you will lay down on the ground and just let me put my foot on your chest. I know you will. And that was the reality of him as a heel.
That's the reality.
Everybody
of the world.
Had a price.
Everybody's
how many times
got a
did
price.
You see him have a match, and then all of a sudden the guy took a punch and it didn't even look like it hit him, and he goes down and he covers the guy, and then he takes the money, and rather than putting it in his mouth, he put it in his hand.
Yeah.
Oh, what a heel. What a dirty, no good son of a gun.
And the dollar bill, Mark, in the mouth afterwards, it's the little things. It's the psychology. Oh. The things that stay with you 30 years later, 40 years later. I mean, a testament to just great work, man. Just that's
yeah, he was a blessing to the business, man. And I think that The Undertaker, with this Survivor Series happening and tomorrow being the anniversary, he was able to do the same thing, evolve and represent himself. He protected that. There was guys that they didn't want to get chokeslam. The chokeslam was new back then. And guys were like, you mean you're going to pick me up and throw me down on the back of my head? Nah. No, yeah, you're going to take it. And you're going to like it. Otherwise, your ass not going to work here. And, man, like, the business changed. And the entertainment side of pro wrestling took off from that. I mean, Gorgeous George in the 50s was an anomaly. There was nobody like The Undertaker before that character became about. There's been characters throughout wrestling for 120 years. And Gorgeous George is the only guy that had that kind of energy and personality and flamboyance and pageantry that The Undertaker had. One guy? That's 30 years.
Speaks volumes.
All the way through the 50s, all the way through the 60s, all the way through 40 years. That's crazy that there's only really
And Mark, you can still talk about him to this day. Like, as you said, it's 2020. The lasting impression those men leave across the board. Legends are legends for a reason. Hall of Famers are Hall of Famers for a reason. I can say that to you, Mark. We've been at fantasy booking our Survivor Series squads here. Even the Million Dollar Man said Mark Henry had to be on his Survivor Series squad. You know, you can't teach size, Mark Henry. You can't teach size. All right, maybe we could teach some listeners out there, well, at least give our opinions on the best show in the week that was professional wrestling. It is weekly winter time here on Busted Open Saturday to start hour three. Mark, I'm going to let you roll with it as a Survivor Series Saturday here, one of the big four pay-per-views, and we're going to break it down. So I'm going to let you go first. There's a lot of good stuff to get to in the week that was in professional wrestling. We had title changes on Monday Night Raw. We had bangers like Io versus Rhea on Wednesday night. We had another great go-home show on Friday for SmackDown. So where does the truth lie, World's Strongest Man? The best show in the week that was of professional wrestling. Hit me.
You know what, man? Like Monday, I would have to say was probably the best Monday Night Raw we've seen in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And primarily due to the main event. But, you know, there was a guy in the Thunderdome that, you know, was watching that match that was excited like I was in it.
Excited, Mark. I watched you on the Thunderdome screen for the majority of that match. You were super hyped. Like you were locked in at every move when they went up. They did the high spot. I think they did the superplex. Like you were, don't do that. You don't want to do that.
No. Oh my God. Like I got into it. And you know, I love Drew and Randy. I always said, if I was going to start a company, I'm starting with Randy Orton.
Yep.
Like either way, I'm going to be good. That's how Randy is the most balanced wrestler in the world.
Yep.
Hands down. There's no competition. He's the most balanced pro wrestler in the world. And that's not saying he's the greatest entertainer or he's the greatest wrestler, but overall balance, every category, every box, there's no other option. And I mean, even every story that was told, you know, being able to see Bray Wyatt, the show was really good. And there was a point where I was on the phone and I was sitting there talking to Dave LaGreca while the show was going on. And we were like, is this Raw? Holy shit, this is a good show. And there was a lot of things that went on. But you know what? The thing about that whole show that I have to give a lot of credit to was, for the first time in my life, knowing this guy, I seen him go out of himself and become somebody else. And that was Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy had a scene in the locker room where he grabbed Elias and he said, look, man, I didn't do it. And, you know, you could tell when somebody's lying or you could tell when somebody's telling the truth and they're trying to, it's like that guy that lied and said the girl messed around with him, but she really didn't. It was like, you knew that Jeff was telling the truth and he was trying to he barked at Elias like the greatest heel in pro wrestling. And there was little bitty things that made that show really, really pop. And Jeff Hardy took that to another level. And you get to Wednesday. Shit, Wednesday was so good, man. It's like Wednesday is the day for pro wrestling.
Yep.
It used to be Monday nights. I grew up Monday night. That was my night of wrestling. Wednesday is the night of wrestling, man. I watched. Watching the Young Bucks and Top Flight, which I didn't know Top Flight.
I just listened to the story. Yeah.
Of the guys, you know, wanting to be like them and calling them, reaching out to them on social media and them going, you know what, man? I remember what it was like. I got a brother. Let's give these guys a shot. And then them going and representing the way they represent it. And I just knew that right then that show was going to be on the roll.
I want to say, as we're talking about the Young Bucks, I don't want to stop your flow because this is Weekly Winner and you're running through the show. But, Mark, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention just a couple days ago, we had the Young Bucks right here on Busted Open. Dave and the crew had Nick and Matt Jackson on to talk about their careers. It was a long-ranging interview talking about AEW today. But before we continue with Weekly Winner, Mark, let's hear from the Young Bucks a little bit. Now, this is only just a snippet of the Young Bucks from earlier in the week on Busted Open. So if you want to hear the rest, be very clear. You got to head out there on SiriusXM On Demand. Check out Busted Open. You can find the full interview. But this was the Young Bucks earlier in the week right here on Busted Open.
We broke the unwritten rules of wrestling. Like, you're only supposed to do a couple of high spots in the match. And, well, what do we do? Well, hey, we're going to start off with 20 high spots. And, hey, the super kick's a finisher. What are you doing? No, for us, it's just a fun move we do 12 times a match. Like, these are the rules of wrestling, the unspoken rules you do not break. So when you do those things, people say you're going to kill the business. And I think that's kind of where the phrase was kind of coined, was the critics who said that we were spamming super kicks and we were doing too many high spots. And, you know, we were doing all of the things that you're not supposed to do. But for whatever reason, it worked for us when it was never supposed to work.
Well, Mark, you can call them spot junkies. You can criticize their style. You can say whatever you want. One thing you can't deny, Mark, is that they are one of the greatest tag teams going today. And you talk about that match with Top Flight on Wednesday night, telling a story and a short blip, and then going out there with the repertoire that they have, whether it be super kicks or whatever the case may be, a well-done story, a well-told story on Wednesday. No question.
Yeah, I mean, it was hell of a story that they told, the way they got introduced, and you can't help but want to see what them guys are going to do going forward. I thought that it was pretty cool. Jay Cargill got the put the chair on Brandy's arm and did damage. I wish there could have been a little bit more heat, but, you know, still nonetheless, the job got done. Will Hobbs coming in at the end of a really good match already, you know, Darby Allin and Cody versus Ricky Starks and Brian Cage, hell of a match. I mean, they went back and forth and back and forth. And then it got to the point to where you thought it was over, and they just showed you again how the greatness that they can put together. And then to see Will Hobbs come in and make another just – really, really great moment for himself, I thought was awesome. And you go right over to NXT, and, man, listen, the match that Io Shirai and Rhea had was the best match of the week. It was better than, and you're going to say, I don't know about that, but I thought it was a better match than Randy and Drew, just for the story that it told. You know, the whole Leon Ruff stuff. And I don't think nobody is being more entertaining right now than Cameron Grimes.
Yeah.
Cameron Grimes is so entertaining, man. I can't wait to see him do more in the business. He deserves that. Dexter Lumis is slowly becoming one of my favorites. The whole, you know, getting to the end of the match and having the finish go the way that it did, and then, you know, having Finn come out, and then you got Pat McAfee coming out, and then you got the a melee that ensues after that where Pat McAfee got kicked that I thought it was might have been the most flush, well-sold kick and delivery, and, man, there's got to be a receipt coming from that. It was amazing. Just a really, really good show on NXT. And then, of course, what we saw last night. I mean, the drama between Roman Reigns and the dialogue that was had between Drew McIntyre and himself was worth the price of admission on his own. That's without the fact that they had so many good moments in that show. The tag team match that just it made you want to be a wrestling fan. That's
and a great close and Mark, a great close. A great close between two great wrestlers with Jey Uso and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. And not only was that match a really good match for Jey, Bryan got his comeuppance. And you can feel that Jey felt like there were going to be some kind of consequence to losing and knowing Roman was standing over his shoulder.
Yeah.
And I was waiting on the music to hit and Roman to come out. But it didn't happen and it didn't need to happen. But, you know, it's the subliminal messaging of what they've done in weeks prior that made that even as much entertaining. And, you know, I can't give all of the shows the weekly winner. Because
no, if you ain't first, you're last, Mark Henry.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Yeah, that's it. That's the gimmick.
I'm gonna have to give the best match the nod. And that's NXT.
Wow.
I have to give it up. As much as I'd like to give SmackDown with Drew and Roman that push, Io and Rhea just, you know, they made me a wrestling fan.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Best match of the week, Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai. If you want to center that around being the best show, how do you argue with that? I'll say this, Mark. I think the two best matches of this week were done by the women. You mentioned Io and Rhea. How about Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa on Dynamite? That match was, no pun,
hell of
Dynamite.
A match.
Yeah, that was really well done. Not surprising. I guess from the standpoint, though, I mean, it's a little surprising that the NWA title is getting so much shine, that so much is being invested in those two, which I am totally cool with. I love that. And I love that Tony Khan's being willing to do that and opening up sort of the cross promotion sort of stuff. I really enjoyed that. He obviously had also on Wednesday night, at least in terms of Dynamite, you had the Inner Circle coming to my city with their little Hangover sort of inspired clip. Speaking of the Hangover, Mark. Very important part of that first Hangover movie in that suite with the wild animals and whatever may have been going on, right? Mike Tyson was in that scene. Fun fact, Mark, coming up in 7 days, a week from today. Yeah, Mike Tyson's getting back in the ring and taking on Roy Jones Jr. Something tells me we might be talking about that next week, at least a little bit. How are we going to not talk about a Mike Tyson fight?
How can
on a
we
Saturday?
Not talk about it? I wanted to talk about it today.
Well, we got too much to get to today. We'll just have to put that. That was us talk. We just did. That was us talking about it.
That was us talking about
it. That was us. That was, we just did it.
So what's your week?
We met our quota. Well, so as we said, strong shows on Wednesday. Obviously, the go home show with Friday Night SmackDown was really well done. I always think that, you know, when you've got the 2 hours, it helps them a little bit more, especially when compared to Monday Night Raw. On Monday. One thing I do want to mention before I jump to Monday and talk more about weekly winner. Final thing on Wednesday at NXT, Damian Priest. I got to say something about Damian Priest, formerly Punishment Martinez. I have never been a huge fan of Damian Priest. Like, I get it. I see what people see. Big guy. He's got the look. Like, yeah, all that works, right? But the rock star sort of thing that they were doing in NXT, okay, that's fine. Didn't really hit for me. The Punishment Martinez stuff on the Indies and ROH, that definitely didn't hit for me. There is something happening with Damian Priest right now. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. Maybe you can elaborate. There's a looseness happening. There's more personality coming out, and this is crazy. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, but there's a quality in him that's starting to remind me of The Rock. And it's from this standpoint, and it's this standpoint only, the expressions on his face. He's starting to be super expressive in the face. Like I said, he's starting to become a little bit lighter, a little bit jokier with Cameron Grimes and the whole thing with Leon Ruff. There's something happening with Damian Priest. And I'm, for the first time as a fan, I'm in on Damian Priest, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen with him further. Mark, I guess what I'm saying is I hope they foster this quote-unquote new Damian Priest that we're seeing, because I think there's something there.
Well, I mean, you're 100% right. Sometimes the light switch comes on.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what has happened. I think that he believes that he can actually see where he could be funny. He can see where it's not going to make him weak by playing the role, allowing himself to get slapped and the facial expressions and different things. Like, there comes a time where you have to be able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that he knows where to put that stuff now, and his expressions are tremendous.
Yes.
And you know, it's pretty cool, man, to see
it is.
People finally get it.
Yep. And I love the way you ended that. It's cool to see people finally get it, because we're rooting for all professional wrestlers.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're risking your life. You're risking your well-being, right? Like, we want you to go out there and be your best version. And a guy like Priest, who has a size, presumably, you know, he's got the look. Big future for Damian Priest. I never really saw it before. Again, I'm seeing it now. So tip of the cap to him. But Mark, to wrap up Weekly Winner, very simply, when you have a world title change on television, let alone a world title change between Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, that match was so well done in the time that we got it, and especially without fans. I keep going back to Drew McIntyre in this pandemic era and the moments that he's had. Mark, I was imagining that match with fans. Could you imagine the pops that would have gotten? That was so well executed and so engaging. Like, I felt my wife was asking me, who do you think is going to win? And I was like, well, with the kilt being brought out and the sword and the new package, I kind of think Drew McIntyre is going to take it, but I didn't really know. I was being, you know, a mark. I was nitpicking and right, but there was still that surprise factor. The whole package, you think of Alexa Bliss and The Fiend and what's going on with them. Everything was solid on Monday Night Raw. It was a really good show, as you said, as you were talking to LaGreca. And again, when you have a title change to end the show, how can I go against that? As great as everything else was, this was a really, really great week for professional wrestling. And you know why? How I know? I'm giving Monday Night Raw my weekly winner. When Monday Night Raw in this era, right now, at least the stretch that they've been in, when they're getting the weekly winner, you know they are doing something right. So that's it for weekly winner. We went a little long. That's all right. We still got plenty to say when we come back. That's right. 30 years of The Undertaker tomorrow, marking that monumentous day when he was the mystery partner of the Million Dollar Team and the Million Dollar Man. So much has happened since then.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.